But tonight we're going to do a survey of the whole chapter. There's only 10 verses here, and we won't get too bogged down in any of these verses, but we're going to look at them. John lays out some groundwork and in this chapter, and there's things that we can really grab a hold of and use in our life and in our churches. 1 John chapter 1, we'll read all 10 verses tonight. That which was from the beginning, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and shew unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. What a statement John makes there. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, it sure is an honor to be able to be back tonight. Lord, I pray for this church. I pray for Brother Mark, Miss Kelly, as they're still out. God, I pray that You'd help them and bless them. Lord, I thank You for the folks that have made their way out. God, please just bless each and every individual tonight. Lord, I thank You for Your Son, what He means to us. God, I thank You for the Word of God. It is a lamp to our feet. God, it's a light to our path. Lord, I pray that You'd just help us tonight as we gather around it for just a little while. Lord, that we would learn something from the Word of God tonight. Lord, I pray that You'd help us. God, I certainly do need You. Lord, I certainly do need You. I always do. God, please, I pray You'd use me. God, I know that I will. Lord, I'll stand for what I say tonight. God, it's not the people anymore, God, that make me nervous. God, it's the fact that I'll have to stand before You with what I say tonight. Lord, I pray that You would just guard my mouth, guard my lips. Lord, that I wouldn't say anything that would bring shame and reproach to Your dear Son. But God, I pray that I would do what I preached this morning and bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would make that top priority in my life, make it top priority in my preaching. Lord, I love You. Thank You for these people. Thank You for this church. Thank You for the friends that I have here. God, I pray You'd bless every one of them. Father, help me now tonight. God, I really do need You tonight. I do. I pray that You'd help me. In Jesus' name, amen. If I was going to title, give it just a key word or a main theme, chapter 1 I would call the fellowship chapter. John deals with fellowship in chapter 1. Fellowship between God and Christians. Fellowship between saved folks and their Lord. He also says some things about fellowship one with another, but the main theme, the main thrust is fellowship between a saved man and his God and maintaining that fellowship. And what John does in this chapter is he actually breaks it down to show us not only that that is the goal is to have fellowship with God and to be right with God in this life. John also shows us how to maintain that fellowship and how to get it back whenever it's lost. And we're going to look at that in just a few minutes. But again, the overall theme of chapter 1 is maintaining proper fellowship with the Lord. If we maintain that fellowship, then we're not as easily shaken. If we maintain that fellowship with the Father, if we get into the Word of God, if we become grounded in the Scriptures, if we become grounded in the truth, remember what we said this morning. John is battling this Gnostic cult that has come up, that has risen up. They were preaching false doctrine. They were preaching another Jesus, as Paul would say. And John was trying to, he wanted these believers here. He calls them his dear children. We can see the love that John has for them. He didn't want them to be shaken by this false doctrine. And we've got a lot of false doctrine today right around in McMinn County that we don't need to be shaken by. There's a lot of things that we'll hear in this life, a lot of things that we'll see that contradict the Word of God. And John was trying to help them to not be shaken by those things and to maintain fellowship with the Father. And that's what we need. That's what we need today, is to maintain fellowship with the Lord. John's desire is to build up these converts. It's to build up these converts so that they'd be able to take on the world that was laid before them. If I was going to give this another title, another word, it would be this, and it's something that we have forsaken in our churches today. We have forsaken it, and it is to our shame that we've forsaken it. I'm not just preaching to Unity Baptist Church. I'm a member of Faith Baptist Church. There is something that I believe that we as churches, as fundamental churches, have forsaken, and that is discipleship. Discipleship. Sure, we'll go out, we'll bring them in, we'll preach Jesus unto them, we'll get them saved. You're on your own. We'll witness to people on the job. We might lead them into prayer. By the way, there is no prayer of salvation anyway. It's not in a prayer. But we'll do something like that with them, and we'll leave them there. We'll leave them there. And we wonder why our churches are so immature spiritually. It's because most folks have not been truly discipled, truly taught, truly trained in the Word of God.
Amen.
And I'll even take it a step further. I hope you don't get mad at me. I believe it's true. I think the reason we don't have true discipleship anymore in our churches is because our pastors, our preachers, our men of God don't know enough about the Word of God to truly disciple somebody. That's running rampant in our churches today. We have preachers that get a Saturday night special. They've got a little story. They've got a funny line, then a serious story, and that's it. That's it. We need more of verse by verse. Just open up the Word of God, go to Romans chapter 1, verse 1, and preach the Bible. We need more of that in our day. We need more discipleship. We need more training, more biblical training. I believe we wouldn't be so shaky in our faith if we had better biblical training, better discipleship. John talks about that here in the first few verses here of 1 John chapter 1. I want to say one thing about this book, I'm not going to be here enough to preach the whole book to you. I wish I was. I love this book. But this book, like a lot of books in the New Testament, this is not a book to read to find out if you're saved or lost. That is not the context of this book. This book is not to, if you're worried about being lost, you don't need to go to 1 John. If you're worried about being lost, you don't need to go to the book of Hebrews. You don't need to go to, there's certain books in the Bible you just don't need to go to, because the context is not towards lost people. The context is towards believers, saved people. This is not a book to find out if you are lost or saved. The book is written to believers. John calls them his children. He calls them brethren. This book is written to believers, and the conditions stated in this book are to determine if a child of God is in or out of fellowship. That's what John is trying to get to the root of in chapter 1. Are you in fellowship? We know you're saved. And that's the question I'm going to ask you tonight. I'm sure maybe there's somebody in here that's not saved, but I'd say for the most part, most of you in here has been saved. But are you in or out of fellowship? You can trick me. You can trick me. If you've been around this thing long enough, you know how to put a coat and tie on. You know how to put a dress shirt on. You know how to put a smile on your face. You know how to quote a few verses. You know how to get by for a couple hours throughout the week. Am I right? We know how to get by. We know how to make... Listen. Hey, there's been times in my life, I'm not going to lie to you, that I have not been in proper fellowship with God. Am I saved? Yeah. Am I called to preach? Yeah. But am I in right fellowship? No. And listen, I've been in it long enough. I know how to put on a suit and tie and a smile and get a text. But I want to ask you tonight, are you in proper fellowship? Are you in proper fellowship? And we're going to look at that. First of all, we see in verses 3 and 4 that the objective that John has is fellowship. The objective is fellowship. Verse number 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Notice in verse number 3, notice two words. He said, that which we have seen and heard. Remember that from this morning. John told them about those things that he had seen and heard. He said in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. What John is doing here is he is taking those things that he had seen and heard when he walked with Christ physically on the earth, and he is preaching that, he is teaching that, those doctrines that he learned while our Lord was on the earth. What John is doing is he's discipling these people. He is telling them those things that he's seen and heard while Christ was on the earth. He is taking what he's been taught and is teaching somebody else. This discipleship thing isn't spooky. It's not hard. It's just taking what you know, what you've been taught, and teaching somebody else. And that's something we lack in our day. We lack that in our day. But John is simply teaching them what he has been taught. These verses are so simple. They're so simple. But yet they're so profound because they're lacking in our day. Because we don't see this like we should in our day. John's not trying to be like Roman Catholicism. There's two things, there's two adjectives you can say about any country that is controlled by Roman Catholicism. They're poor and they're uneducated. They're poor and they're uneducated. Because Rome, that is the business model of Roman Catholicism. To keep somebody in submission to the church, they keep them poor and they keep them uneducated. That was not the mindset that John had. John wanted to maintain a superior position above them. He wants to build them up to the same spiritual plane that he's on. What a spiritual plane that was. We talked about some of the things that John had experienced. We talked about this morning how that it was John, while the other disciples were arguing about who was going to betray Jesus, that it was John that laid his head on the bosom of his Savior, that it was John that had the privilege and the honor to take care of Jesus' mother after his death. That it was John that was one of the first to see him after he was resurrected. It was John that experienced all these things. It was John that was able to do all these things. It was John that was the very closest to our Lord while he was on this earth. It was John. John was on another level spiritually. He was on a higher plane. But John's desire wasn't to keep them under him. John's desire wasn't to keep them just below him. John was trying to build them up. Notice he said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. John wants them on the same plane. I'll say this, even John, it would have been John's desire for them to go higher and farther than he had gone. John wanted them on the same plane. He's building them up to the same spiritual plane, or even above that spiritual plane that he and the other apostles are on. I said this to the school the other day. We've got some of those pastors in our college that actually physically show up for class, and we've got most of them out in correspondence, and I told them this, and I meant it. I had never told them this before, but I meant it. I told them that I want to do great things for Christ, don't you? I want to do great things in my life for the glory of God. If you don't, we've got a problem. I want to do great things, brother, in my life for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I told those students, I told those pastors, I told those pastors' wives, I said, I want you to go even further. And you know what? I wouldn't be right with God if I didn't have that mindset towards those students. I wanted them not just to get up. And listen, I'm not on some really high level and they're on some really low level. I'm not saying that at all. But I want them to get, if they're not to my level, I want them to grasp my level, and I want them to go above and beyond where I can ever be. That's the mindset we need in our churches. That's the mindset we need in our pastors. That's the mindset we need in our Sunday school teachers, in our parents, in our husbands, in our fathers. Don't just get to the same level. Go further than your parents. Go further than your Sunday school teacher. Go further than your preacher. Make much of this life you have for Jesus Christ. Do great things. Do great things. John was not trying to keep them subordinate. John was trying to push them even further than he had gone. Listen, it's not that your pastor is not going to do great things, and I know he would be fine with me saying this, but do more than your pastor. Go further. Learn more. Learn more than your parents. Do more than your Sunday school teacher. Do more. Do more. Be better. Do more for Christ. John, notice he said this at the end of verse number 3. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So, not only is John trying to build them up spiritually, but John was not grooming them to be like a lot of our churches and a lot of our Bible colleges. A lot of what we do in our day is this. We'll take preacher boys, we'll take young men, we'll take young women, and a lot of pastors and a lot of Bible colleges, these bigger, I'm talking about fundamental Bible colleges, what they'll do is they'll groom them to have the same haircut that the pastor has. They'll groom them to look the same way the pastor does. They'll groom them to act the same way in their preaching, to have the same mannerisms, to have the same worship style. And it's nothing but a big business. It's nothing but making that man over that Bible college or making that big-time pastor even bigger. It's nothing but making his flock or making his herd a little bit bigger. But John, he wasn't even trying to get them to be like him. He said, truly, our fellowship was with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. John wasn't saying, hey, look at me, be like me. John was pointing them and saying, hey, look at him, be like him, don't be like me. When we disciple folks, it's not, hey, do what I'm doing. It's, hey, do what he's doing. Be more like him. Be more Christ-like. Listen, let the liberals and the legalists argue. You just be Christ-like. Let the legalists and the liberals argue over which side you need to part your hair, or over if it's okay to wear a colored shirt, or if it's okay to have facial hair, or if it's okay for a lady to do this, or a man to do this, or whatever. If it's okay for your kids to do whatever. Just be like Christ. And let the world fade away. Just be like Christ. Let the brethren argue. Listen, I'm all for standards. I'm all for doing right. But I tell you, we'll take our standards and put them above fellowship with Christ. Amen. And when we do that, we're wrong. When we do that, we're legalists. You don't have to look like me. You don't have to act like me. Bless you, Lord. If you're a preacher, you don't have to preach like me. You don't have to dress like me, whatever. Just be right with God. Just follow the Bible. We need more of that in our day. So much more of that. John was not grooming them to be like him. He was grooming them to be like Christ. In verse 4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." That your joy may be full. You know what John's telling them? Again, so simple but profound. And this is not to say that, remember we talked about it this morning, how that God's top priority is not to make you happy, healthy, rich. God's desire is to bring glory and honor to His Son in your life. Whether that's being a big CEO on Wall Street or whether that's being in prison, no matter what situation you find yourself in, God's desire is to bring glory and honor. Whether you're healthy or whether your body's ravaged by sickness, God's desire is to bring glory and honor to His Son. I'm not talking about circumstances with what I'm about to say. I'm not talking about circumstances. If we look at our circumstances from time to time, I know me and I'm bad about that. I'm bad about just looking at what's going on today and not focusing on what's going to be going on in eternity. But if we'll maintain fellowship with our Lord and have an eternal mindset instead of a circumstances mindset, you know what's going to happen? Your joy is going to be full. You're going to be happy even when you can't pay the bills. You're going to be happy even when your body's hurting. You're going to be happy even when things don't go your way, even when you lose that job. Even when somebody turns their back on you, your joy is going to be full because your mind, you're not focused on your daily circumstances. You're focused on eternity. John told them that if they'll do these things, if they will do verse number 3, if they will allow Him to disciple them and to pull them up to His level and even beyond His level, He's pushing them towards Christ to get on a higher spiritual plane. He said, your joy is going to be full. Your joy is going to be full. Now, after reading that, we agree that this is a Bible truth, don't we?
Amen.
We agree to that.
Amen.
This is Bible truth. Your joy is going to be full if you maintain fellowship with the Father. Mm-hmm. I have to ask, why is our joy not full? If we say we're right with God, listen, I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching a lot of this to me. How can we say, yeah, I'm right with God? Yeah, I'm in fellowship with God. But yet we're depressed.
Bless Him, Lord.
But yet we hang our head in shame. We go to church 3 times a week. We sing in the choir. We read our Bible. We pray. We may even witness a time or two. We go to a revival meeting. But when the rubber meets the road, if somebody bold-faced asked us, are you happy? Are you joyous? We would have to, if we were honest, answer, no. No. Now again, the reason I said this before, if we focus on our circumstances, we won't be happy. A lot of times, if I focus on my circumstances, I won't be happy. But if I maintain fellowship with the Father and I'm eternally minded, I can be happy. I can be joyous. But I have to say that I believe is this. I believe a lot of our Christians today, and listen, I'm talking about myself a lot of times, but I believe a lot of our Christians in church today, a lot of our Sunday school teachers, preachers, preachers' wives, deacons, we're not really serving God. We're not really in fellowship with God. If we're honest, we're serving ourselves. We've got our little pet sin that we refuse to get rid of. We've got these things we don't want anybody else to know about. We've got these things we don't tell anybody. We don't tell our wife. We don't tell our husband.
We hide it in the dark and we don't get rid of it. We don't repent of it as our Lord teaches us to do. We come to church 3 days a week, but we are depressed, depressed, depressed.
There you go. Come on.
We've got our little spiritual checklist that we check off every day to soothe our conscience. We keep our little pet sins and we go through this life depressed. The reason why is because we've never scrapped that checklist. We've never stopped with the front that we've put on for years and years and years. And you're depressed tonight because you're not really serving God. You're really just serving yourself. That's a sad way to be. That's a sad way to be. But I believe this. I believe that if we would just get honest with God,
amen,
throw our checklist away, that we could, our joy could be full.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about, listen, I understand that there's a health, wealth, and prosperity movement. It is false doctrine.
Amen.
God may not take your sickness away.
Right.
God may not make you rich. God may not, in the day-to-day, may not even give you what you want and make you happy.
Amen.
But your joy can still be full. Your joy can still be full. John tells us how. He tells us how to maintain fellowship with the Father, that our joy will be full. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now in verses 5 through 7, we see the conditions of fellowship. The conditions of fellowship, or the rewards of fellowship. There's things we see in verses 5 through 7. There's little calling cards of whether or not we're in fellowship with God. Verse number 5, this then is the message which we've heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. In verse number 5, John tells us who the measuring stick is. And you know what? It's not him. John's not the measuring stick. It's the Lord.
Amen.
He said that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Verse 6, again, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Another problem with us today is we have a preacher as our measuring stick. Wives have their husbands and husbands have their wives as each other's measuring stick. Well, if I'm doing a little bit more, we have other church members as our measuring stick, our pastor as the measuring stick. Well, if I'm on his level, I'm okay. Well, if I'm not committing any worse sin than he's committing, I must be all right. If I'm doing this, if I'm doing just a little bit more, if the pastor's reading 3 chapters a day and I'm reading 4 chapters a day, I must be right with God. Even though I've got my little pet sin, just like he's got his little pet sin, I must be okay if I'm doing a little bit better than so and so. I must be okay if I've got a little bit more meetings than the other preacher does. I must be right with God. God's using me. That's not the right measuring stick.
Amen.
John made it clear who it was. It wasn't him. It wasn't him. It was the Lord. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Can I tell you something to my shame? There's been times in my Christian life that I've lied.
Amen.
I've lied. I've said that I had fellowship with the Father, but I knew I was walking in darkness. I'm saved, called to preach, walking in darkness. This is an honest message tonight.
Amen.
Just honest. There's no reason to lie. There's no reason to not tell the truth. I know you've been there as well. You've been there as well. The problem is when we get our measuring stick wrong. You're not okay just because you're doing better than your neighbor. You're not okay just because you come to 2 services a week and the fellow beside you only comes to 1. That don't make you okay. He's the measuring stick. He is light. There's no darkness in Him at all. That means if there's just a little bit of darkness in us, it don't have to be pitch black. Just a little bit of darkness. If we allow just a little bit of darkness to maintain in our life, then we're out of fellowship with Him. That is a condition of fellowship, is to walk in the light. It's to walk in the light. And then verse number 7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This is a verse of Scripture here that's oftentimes, it's confusing to folks, and that's because we did what we talked about, or we didn't do what we talked about in the beginning of this message. We've made this book a lost or saved book. And if we do that, verse number seven, it's almost like if you just look at verse number 7, here's what it almost looks like. It looks like, number one, if you're saved, you got to walk in the light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, come on.
And it looks like if you're going to be saved, you got to have fellowship one with another mm-hmm. to be saved. It places when we take the Bible out of context, it places conditions on salvation that should not be there. That should not be there. Now, if you're saved, should you walk in the light? Absolutely. If you're saved, should you have fellowship one with another? Absolutely. But that is not the condition of salvation. The condition of salvation is not, what have I done? It's not, well, did I pray long enough? It's not, well, did I repent of this sin and repent of this sin? It's not, well, did I stop smoking? Did I stop drinking? Did I stop fornicating? It's not, what did I stop doing? It's not, well, did I start coming to church? It doesn't have anything to do with that. It's not when I came to the altar to pray. It's not about coming to an altar and praying. It's not about what you felt when you got up from the altar. It's not about any of that. Salvation is not what you've done. Salvation's what He's already done. He already came. He already died on the cross. He already was buried. He's already risen again. Salvation isn't how long you prayed. Salvation's not what you prayed. Salvation's not in a prayer. Salvation's through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ alone is salvation. But if we take verse number 7 and other verses in our Bible out of context,
amen,
we'll make it seem like that there are conditions on salvation that are not there, that are not biblical. John, remember, the context is still maintaining proper fellowship as a saved person. John said, this is what's going to happen if you walk in the light. If you maintain that fellowship, if you maintain walking in the light, this is what's going to happen in your life. You'll have fellowship one with another. You know why we have a lot of church arguments? It's because we've got a small group of people walking in the light. And everybody else is just hanging on. Everybody else. That's typically, is that not true?
Yeah,
I know some of this is brutally honest, but it's true.
Amen.
Typically in our churches, we've got two or three that are really right with God,
amen,
doing things and moving forward. And most everybody else is either sitting still or moving back. Is that right? Is that right? You know, all of you have been in church longer than I have. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Two or three that are doing right. And everybody else. Two or three that are serious about the Word of God. And everybody else is just, I'm here. I'm a Christian. But John said if you get a group of believers in fellowship, proper fellowship, they'll have fellowship one with another. We could see great revival in our day if we'd all get to rowing in the right direction.
Amen.
And not just two or three. If those of you that are not, and you know who you are, those of you that are not pressing on, those of you that are not moving forward, if you'd start moving forward, this church could do wonderful things for God. if we'd all be rowing in the same direction. He said we'd have fellowship one with another if we all walk in the light. Notice that John, he's not speaking to individuals here. He's speaking to a congregation. He's speaking to a group of people that he calls his little children. He said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And then he says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. John here, we've already determined that salvation isn't the context of this verse. It's not the context of this book. John here is not describing positional justification. Instead, he is describing practical cleansing. Practical cleansing. God has a fail-safe plan for dealing with sin in a believer's life. He has a fail-safe plan. It's a twofold plan. And it's simple to understand His plan. If you're right with God, then the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth you from all sin. I'm not talking about the past sin. I'm not talking about your future sin. I'm talking about right now. Where you're living. Right now in your life, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, has cleansed you from every sin. Mm-hmm. But there is the possibility. And it's more than even just a possibility. There's a fact. And the fact is that you still live in flesh.
Amen.
And that you're still going to commit sin.
Amen.
If you're right with God, you're going to repent quickly.
Amen.
And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, if you allow your flesh to rear up and you sin, if you want to stay in fellowship with God, if you want to stay on the right track, you're going to repent.
Amen.
You're going to repent, the blood of Jesus Christ is going to cleanse you from that sin. You're going to keep moving on the right track. That's the first option in God's fail-safe plan. And that's the best option, is to repent. To repent, forsake, and to go on. But God has another. If we're not going to do that, we can either repent of that sin and fellowship will be restored, or God will kill our mortal bodies to rid us of that sin.
That's right.
God's got a fail-safe plan.
Amen.
It's repent or it. We could say it this way. It's repent or perish, even in the life of a believer. It's repent or perish. You're either going to get right and maintain fellowship, or eventually, for God not to bring reproach to His Son, He's going to take you off of this earth.
That's right.
And that is what the Bible teaches. God has a fail-safe way. But if we're right with God, if we want to maintain fellowship, we're going to repent. And that way, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin. Now, lastly, in verses 8 through 10, we have the continuation of fellowship. So we've seen here that John's objective, his objective, is to make them like Christ. His objective is to place them on the right path in fellowship with God. Then he shows them the conditions of that fellowship. If you are in fellowship, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. If you're not, then there's that other option as well. But then in verses 8 through 10, he shows them how to continue in that fellowship. We'll start in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. In verse 9, I love verse number 9. John lays out God's plan for dealing with sin. We've already looked at it. He'll cleanse us, but He shows us how to be cleansed. He shows us how to continue in fellowship when it's broken. When something's happened in our life and we've gotten on the wrong track, John is showing these children, these believers, these young believers, how to maintain fellowship, how to get back on the right track. Now, there's something about this verse, And listen, I know that this is a lot of people's favorite verse, but there is something in this verse that absolutely thrills me. There's something in this verse, something about this verse that we can't seem to fathom, that we can't seem to grasp in our fundamental churches. And that's this. That's this. There is no specific sin that John says cannot be repented of. This doesn't just pertain to your little sins. That ought to thrill you.
Amen.
That ought to make you, that ought to give you some joy. That ought to make you smile that this is not just those little white lies that you've told. These are those big, life-altering sins. These are David and Bathsheba-type sins that John says, you know what? Yeah, you've got off the wrong. You've gotten onto the wrong track. Yeah, you've messed your life up. But hey, just like a little white lie, if we'll confess our sins, that doesn't mean you're not going to live with the consequences of your sin. But he said that he's faithful and just. Now the brethren aren't. A lot of times we preachers aren't. We'll forgive certain sins, won't we?
Yeah, come on.
Those sins we're committing, we're easy to forgive on those.
Yeah, come on.
But the ones that we think are beneath us, the Amen. Ones that we think we're too spiritual to commit, we have a harder time forgiving those, don't we?
Yeah.
We have a harder time forgiving a homosexual that gets right with God, don't we?
That's
Let's
right.
be honest tonight. We have a harder time with sins that we ain't committing.
Amen. Yeah. Come on.
But God puts no limit on what He'll forgive. He puts no limit on it. John, this is as clear, this is as open as it can be if we confess our sins. Whether that's a white lie, whether that's something that's little to you, whether that's something that somebody would laugh at you that you're even praying for forgiveness of, or whether that's the greatest sin of your life, I want to tell you, if you'll confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. And if the brethren around you are right with God, they'll forgive you too.
Amen.
They'll forgive you too.
Amen.
Sometimes we know, sometimes Christians, they commit sin that causes the Pharisaical brethren to never forgive them. But I'm glad that my Lord's not a Pharisee. He'll forgive of every sin, no matter what it is. We have a list of sins that are permissible and a list of sins that we cannot tolerate, but God does not. He died for every one of them, brother. Every one of them He died for. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. We see, verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And His Word is not in us. John, in verse number 10, takes his little children, takes these young believers. You know what he does? He puts them all on level ground. You've all sinned. Whether they were rich, I'm sure he had some, maybe that were rich, some that were poor, some that were well off in life, and some that weren't. But John, in verse 10, puts them all on level ground. It's an amazing thing to me. John, in 10 verses, has given these young believers some guidelines, some standards that they can live by in their life to maintain fellowship with God. I hope you're on the right track tonight. I hope you're in fellowship with the Lord. And I hope you stay on the right track. I hope you stay in fellowship. If you ever get off the right track, you can go to a book like 1 John chapter 1 and learn how to get right back on. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Praise the Lord for that.